Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's Mike Shope.
We need you. Hell, I need you. I'm a mess without you. I miss you so damn much. I miss being with you.
And the Bulldog.
I miss being near you. I miss your laugh. I miss your scent. I miss your musk.
On WGR.
When this all gets sorted out, I think you and me should get an apartment together.
Sports Radio 550.
Take it easy, champ. Why don't you stop talking for a while?
All right, this ought to be interesting today.
A long, sweaty day at the Hot Take Factory. I have a feeling it's going to be something.
The day after Sabres season's end is often more interesting than the seasons themselves. I'd say that's happened for a few years in a row, maybe. And maybe never in these recent years on today's level.
No, I don't think so. I guess prior to this, O'Reilly talking about how, you know, he lost his love for playing probably is the biggest headline out of one of these locker cleanout days. But boy, Eichel broke the units of measure, I think, with everything today. I mean, I think a lot of fans' worst fears are coming to light, and you know, the injury part of this is a whole nother part of the drama that, you know, frankly, I mean, we knew he was hurt, but I was not anticipating there being that on top of, you know, whatever else is happening with him.
Maybe it's the biggest. I mean, we've wondered for months whether all the losing had been enough to sort of break his spirit. And this injury confusion seems to have maybe trumped that. I don't know. We will, in time, we will get to, like, what should they actually do? But right now, I think maybe the most important thing is to, with Paul Hamilton here to join us, sort out what we learned today. You know, Paul, like, a lot of this, I don't know, tell me if you feel differently. You might. A lot of this injury stuff that Eichel laid out today is kind of new to me. I mean, we knew some things. We did you know about the broken rib?
Yeah, we've been talking about that. We had heard abdomen. We had heard broken rib. Basically, been going with broken rib for the last month or so.
And then okay,
come to find out, both are happening. But the injury that actually happened before training camp was a rib.
We knew that he hurt his neck, but when that happened, we had the Sabres, Paul, for a period of time, not a short one, consistently say that they were not closed to the possibility that Eichel would return. They were, you know, of course, intentionally vague on his injury, really wouldn't talk about it, but they didn't close the door on his return. And today sounded like there was no chance he was going to play. Or do I have that wrong?
No, the Sabres thought there was. That's what this fight is about. And that's what I've been reporting for over a month now. This fight has been the Sabres, you know, through doctors, felt that maybe he could get back to play. Eichel, through his doctors, feel surgery is the best route to take. And it's not just like you and me going to the doctor and making a decision because it's our bodies and we can do what we want to do. The collective bargaining agreement gives the Sabres the power. So the Sabres have the right to tell Jack Eichel if he wants surgery, no. You know, Jack Eichel has the right to get other opinions. He has done that. He has talked to a lot of doctors, both in person and on the phone. And his camp is, that's why he's upset, because his camp thinks the surgery is the best way to go. The Sabres fight it. They say it's not. They feel rehab is the best way to go. The Sabres, until about the time Adam spoke, but up to about that time, we're thinking there's a possibility he could come back. And Don Granato had talked about that, that, you know, we're still thinking that Jack might be able to come back. Well, yeah, in Jack's mind, there was no chance.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of where I'm at. Yeah. Is, yeah. How would they know how he felt? How would they not know how he felt? You know?
Well, they know how he felt, and that's where the fight was. The Sabre doctors were fighting Jack's doctors, you know, as the opinion of what should be done here, and still are.
As you understand it, Paul, was the Sabres, the organization's reluctance to sign off on Eichel having surgery? I imagine his long-range health is something that would be in everybody's best interest. But if they were, do you know if they were avoiding surgery for Eichel because they wanted him to come back and play in April? And is that like the main motivating factor? Or do they think the course of treatment that includes surgery would be a mistake, irrespective of whether or not there was hockey to be played? Obviously, now there is not.
It seems like the Sabre doctors feel surgery is a mistake, and that the best way to handle this is through rehab for as long as it goes. And if you find out the rehab isn't working, then the last resort is surgery. And I think that's what we'll probably hear from Kevin Adams, that, you know, the Sabre doctors, maybe Kevin Adams won't discuss it at all, because maybe he'll think it's not his place to talk about an injury to Jack Eichel, you know, with laws and that kind of thing. But, you know, I think that's where it comes from, that they feel, and there are some doctors that will tell you, you avoid surgery at this, in this, this type of surgery at all costs. And it seems like maybe that's what the Sabre doctors are, even getting the information from Eichel's doctors, that's still how they feel about it.
Paul, we've probably, a lot of fans have seen and heard many of the clips from today, but I did not watch or listen start to finish. So forgive me if this didn't come up, but did Eichel talk at all about how he's feeling now? Like, is the rehab, is anything working? Is he feeling better, or is he still in a holding pattern?
Yeah, he's still in a holding pattern. He still would like to get the surgery, and it just seems like they're butting heads. And he said it's only been a couple of conversations. The Sabres have been quite clear. Eichel's camp have been quite clear. Eichel made it very clear that, you know, he has to worry about himself. He has to do what's best for him, but he understands the organization has to do best for what it feels is right. So, you know, he does get that. So he says things are not very black and white. And he said a couple of times that he's been trying to educate himself, but, and again said he's got to do what's best for him, and because he's only going to play hockey for so long, and he wants to be able to be a father and do other things with his life, you know, once it's past surgery and or past hockey. So he feels surgery is the way to go through the people and doctors that he has spoken with.
He did refer, if not, I think this is a quote, but he did talk about getting healthy. Like, for me, like, that's what I've got to do. So that would imply at least that, you know, he's not there yet. I also read that, now I'm not reading this from any sort of medical journals, but I read it from Barry Pachesky at Defector, who wrote on Eichel, and he said that reportedly the surgery can be a 6-week injury. And so from when it happened, if the Sabres, if that's correct, that timeline would have put it at he could come back, but they didn't want the surgery, or that wasn't happening. And whatever the rehab process is, I mean, is he engaged in it? It's like, that's what kind of makes me wonder if
he was engaged with it. And I think they felt through rehab, there was a chance he could get back by doing the rehab. And, you know, you don't know until you do it. But it just seems like, again, the Sabres are going by the premise that you avoid surgery at all costs, so the rehab is the way to go.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like it's over.
Yeah. Right? I don't think there's any question.
I feel like this.
I don't think there's any question.
This discussion is for today, and then tomorrow it's like, all right, now what's going to happen? I mean,
right? Well, yeah, and that like I think you know I don't know. We're left to speculate a lot here, but would the Sabres maybe discourage surgery because they're afraid it hurts his marketability on the trade market? I mean, coming off neck surgery. I mean, what an impossibly
that would be a pretty
dysfunctional
situation.
Don't you think that
would get around the NHL?
That's a pretty scummy way to do business.
Yeah, so no, I would say no.
Okay.
To do what?
To put off the surgery so you can get more in the trade. That would get around to players around the league.
I'm just trying to find their motivation. I mean, you know,
right.
I whether there's some ulterior motivation other than just, you know, what's the best course of action for this injury. That's all. I'm just feeling around for that.
There doesn't have to be anything there.
I can tell you this, that once this season got away, a month into it, where we knew it was gone and he knew it was gone, from what I'm hearing, he pretty well decided then that it's time. And then the injury happened. And now this has happened. So I think it's just more confirmed in his head even more that it's time.
Well, was he already playing hurt from the beginning?
He's been playing hurt all year.
And so not only like did that happen, but then you had the coach basically denying it. Right? So that's how I get to when he hurt his neck. And he had this, you know, this option, these options, whatever. Like, I guess he didn't literally, but where there would be this disagreement about what he should do. Like, at that point, I think he knows he's not playing for them anymore this year. Like, the season is over. They've lost 12 games going on 18 games in a row. And the coach is going to get fired any day. Like, he knows he's not coming back this year. So, I'm not criticizing him for this exactly. Like, you could. But I just think, like, sort of there, the way you're talking, you're just saying now you think he was done then, and so do I. And so I just think the Sabres would have known that. And when they were talking about him from that point forward, they would not say it. They could have said, we're in last place by a mile where he's done for the season. They could have just settled for that without being specific, but they still wouldn't.
Because they were hoping that the rehab would work and they could get him back on the ice.
But they knew he wasn't coming back on the ice, I think. Right? Like, wouldn't they have known that?
They can force him back on the ice or suspend him.
I know, Paul. You're saying your sources tell you think he was done. So
done with the Sabres.
Yes.
That by the end of the year, he would like to be out of here.
Yeah, but he was going to come back and play 5 games?
The Sabres wanted him to come back. I'm telling you what the Sabres wanted. And they can force that. They can force that issue if he gets cleared by a physician.
But what a bad look. Why would any team in its right mind even bother, right? It's a serious injury. That much we know. It's a delicate – you would not play games. The guy makes $10 million a year. You would not play games with a neck injury for 5 games, like for this last week of games with Michael Hauser in net, right? Like – there has to be some level of competence here.
You and I just aren't going to get there. I'm telling you, they thought the rehab would work and he would play again. That's what they thought. Or it had a chance. No, I should say they had a chance to work.
Yeah, I just don't think that's the point. I'm sorry. I mean, they might have been right in thinking that in a certain situation, but in this situation, why did they care that much about that? Like, you know, there would be the part where, like, how to treat this injury is best, you know, one way or the other long term. That's right. But there should never have been any consideration, in my opinion, to him coming back. Like, best case, it would have been 2 weeks or something like that. So,
what I don't understand is why they can't, if the player is so determined to get the surgery and think it's the right thing to do, why they can't agree to it. Why are their doctors so against it?
Well, there would be an answer to that. There would be an answer to that.
And that comes
maybe
Wednesday.
We'll get one. I don't know if we'll get one or not.
But somebody who doesn't work there could answer that question. You don't have to work there to answer that question. This is not an injury that's never happened before. So there would be, you know, people, there would be doctors who could answer that question. Like,
why would you have to work there to find out why aren't the Sabres letting him have the surgery? That's the Sabres' opinion, and we need to find out from them, why are they not letting him?
Yeah, okay. But, you know, just in a generic sense, there would be somebody who is knowledgeable could tell you, like, what is it actually, what are the risks, you know, and what is the timetable on both sides? And so, like, I just mean somebody, you wouldn't have to be the Sabres doctor to be knowledgeable about that. Because, you know, lots of people have had the injury. So
definitely you can find out about the injury. But the question was, why are the Sabres not letting him do it? That's what I said. I don't understand if he wants to do it. It's his body, and I just don't understand why they're being so stubborn about it.
Well, I mean, it certainly, we were going to spend probably whatever amount of time we'd spend on the Sabres this spring and summer. A lot of it would have been on figuring out what is going to happen with Jack Eichel and the drama in that. I mean, there's still something, you know, he's got to get healthy, and then I assume he has to get traded. Like, this does not sound like a guy that is eager to get back and play for the Sabres at this point. And I wonder how they feel about him through this, you know? If they feel like, if they don't agree with what his medical assessment is of his own situation, maybe there's bad blood on both sides now. Eventually we're going to get to, you know, what kind of marketability is there for a guy coming off of this injury? It's hard to get trading a guy of this caliber right. It's hard to win in that trade. This drama around this injury, I think, is just going to make it that much harder. And we definitely did not need that extra headache, I think, of figuring out if he's healthy, how much that hurts his trade value, and all of it. I mean, there's just a lot to sift through now.
Well, I think I can speculate without too much problem that I'm sure the Pegulas and Kevin Adams were not happy with today's press conference, you know, and what was said, whether it was good, bad, or indifferent, right, wrong, or indifferent. I'm sure they just were not happy about it at all. So, because now they've got it. Now Adams has to sit there and answer questions on Wednesday, which I'm sure he was going to get questions, but he's going to have to answer them a little bit differently after what Eichel said. And it's all out there now. And it's kind of Eichel saying, hey, Kevin, guess what? It's up to you now. Your turn. I've had my turn. Go ahead. Go for it.
Yeah, they might have to be honest. Yeah. I mean, what Eichel was, on a certain level, I appreciate how he was today.
Uh-huh.
Because he was blunt and he's like, yeah, this has not gone well for me. We disagree. And he didn't he didn't exactly say, get me out of here. But he might as well have. Right. Mm-hmm. And so he was believable, I thought, in this thing today. That's without, of course, knowing the exact details of the injury and having any sort of informed medical opinion about it. But
I agree with you 100%. I never at any time during that press conference thought to myself, oh, Jack's trying to pull one over on us here. I never felt that in the least.
Yeah. And when you asked him about what his options were, he's like, well, this is how it works. You know, like he sort of was. Almost like a smile came over him and said, I wish I could do that, but I can't. This is how it works.
Right.
So
I'd be curious now that this has come up, and I wouldn't have even known with it not coming up, is why would the players agree to this in the collective bargaining agreement, having basically no say in your – I mean, you can go get your doctor's opinion, but it's totally up – and I put the part of the collective bargaining agreement in the article, what it says, it's totally up to the club's physicians. And – I thought to myself, why would the players agree to that?
I did see something. I think Elliot Friedman posted a couple bits about a grievance process when there is a disagreement. The player is free to get a second opinion, right? Like you're in like the part that you have clipped into your article, and it's the team's decision. But if there is disagreement, the players' association, there is a process you can go through and go to a medical arbitrator. Basically, you have to agree like that you know, to live by that decision. Then it's binding, I believe, once you take that step. But there is a process Eichel and his agent can get into here if they choose, I believe.
And that sounds like something that I think they would be open to.
Wonder where it leaves Reinhardt.
Yeah.
You know, had a great season.
Mm-hmm.
And he's up, which I would blame the Sabres for, the way they did it with him contractually, but that's in the past too.
They have never given him a long-term deal. It's always been these short-term things, and now he's in a spot where he can insist upon a one-year deal and leave for nothing unless the Sabres decide that they want to get rid of him. And, you know, he didn't really give a clue. I mean, he's upset. He was totally angry during the call, but he basically said that those things tend to work themselves out, you know, when he was asked about it.
Yeah, so, spoken like a guy who doesn't really have the leverage.
Right.
You know, like I can't just go if I want to go. But the Sabres
have to realize that if, you know, he spends one more year on a contract, he can go for nothing. So if he insists and will not sign anything but a one-year deal and holds out or something like that, the Sabres have to realize that, hey, this isn't going anywhere. And his value is never going to be any higher, I don't think, than it is right now.
Yeah. Right.
If that's where it is and he's not going to sign a long-term deal with you and has basically told you that it's one more year and out, well, I don't think his value is ever going to be any higher than it is now.
I think we'll be talking a lot this week, Paul. You know, also,
oh, absolutely.
Some you have leverage in that. You can say no.
I would never say no.
You would never say no. That's good to know.
No more games to cover, Paul. So, yeah, we've got you. You're at our mercy now.
I'm actually looking forward to that. We had 3 days of this instead of just one day, and you do like 16 interviews in one day, and you're like, well, what am I going to do with all these? I mean, we're going to stretch it out a little bit through the week. That's cool.
Is there anything tomorrow?
Yes, there are some players tomorrow. And then there is Adams and Granato on Wednesday.
It's all virtual.
It's the younger players tomorrow. The Dahlins, the Mittelstats, the Cousins.
Cage Thompson I saw on the list. Yeah, right.
Yeah, some of those guys will get questions about today.
Right.
You know, if Paul has anything to do with
it. Would you like to be the next captain of the Sabres? It's like, what?
You know, is it reparable? We need Ristolainen back. He's the one who just can't. He's always so blunt.
He was interesting today. He just said, you know what? I just came back from Kevin Adams, and I told him, you know what? Whatever you want is fine. He goes, if you want me to come back for the final year of my contract, I'll be happy to. If you want to trade me, that's fine. He goes, whatever you want.
Yeah, he's always sounded like that. I just don't sound like that when it comes to him. But he has always sounded like that. Yeah, he is completely numb by now. He is just completely numb. This is his entire life.
Now, what I took out of that was, I'm playing one more year here if that's what you want.
Right.
It's up
to you.
And I have unrestricted free agency.
It's up to you guys. Right. Do what you need to do. I'll be here. If you want me, I'll be here.
Right. If you want me for one more year, that's cool. And if we don't make – because he said, next year I have to make the playoffs, whether it's here or somewhere else. I have to make the playoffs next year.
Good luck. All right. Thanks, Paul. Good job.
Take care, guys.
Man. So much. So much. Hang on. I got to get Paul's sponsor here. I'm sorry. I wasn't ready for that. And, you know, it's Monday. I just got back from Des Moines. I'm sorry. Loading. There we
wonder go. If, I wonder if Paris. Eric Wood would be a good resource today.
Right. Neck injury. Yeah, maybe. Paul's appearance was brought to you by Equitable Advisors. Planning for your future is about more than just money. Let Equitable be your guide, and by Relax Honda. Relax, we got this.
Travis Yost coming up. Here we are, everybody. I don't need to say anything right now, do I? Like, we know where we are right here.
We're in hell. That's where we are.
Okay, right?
This is one way maybe to look at it. Hockey heaven, so much for that, man. This is just... I don't know. You keep waiting for the bottom, and I swear during the last six or seven years, I felt like we've been at the bottom a bunch of times, but we just keep falling. I cannot. It's mind-boggling.
All their terrible decisions have finally maybe broken the dam here to this extent, where you don't even have, and whether this is mostly injury related or just the losing, we've speculated about it for months, thinking it would just be the losing. Where you wonder if you even have him anymore. And then what do you do about it? 803-0550 for your calls. Travis Yost, as I mentioned, at 4 today. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is WGR.
Hey. it's definitely a different perspective, you know, being out of the lineup, you know, kind of going through this experience where you're just watching every game from afar and, you know, being able to talk to the guys and get their perspective on how things were different and how things ran under Donnie. You know, guys are really positive about it. It seems like the mood's good. It seems like, you know, guys are excelling. You know, I mean, you guys watch the games just like I do. It seemed like some guys started to take off and play better. And I think that there's definitely a positive to that.
Jack Eichel today, will we ever hear from him again as a member of the Sabres? A lot of details, some just not quite details on what his year has been like in terms of injuries. The breaking point, perhaps, was after he hurt his neck, and then with the Sabres in one camp and Eichel in another, having a disagreement over how to treat it. I'll say again, Bulldog, just quickly, if the Sabres had their head on straight, they should have never even bothered with any possibility of his coming back this year. Like, you do the math on that injury, and with what their record was, what they had to care about was the long term. Mm-hmm. And that could be either, all right, how do we get him back for next year and go, go, go? Or it could be, well, this is an asset and we might be moving him. And like, there are different diagonals here and all this. Either way, like, why would there ever have been any serious consideration to him playing this year? Especially if, as Paul says, and we've wondered, if he was kind of done with them in the first place.
Yeah. Yeah, I really don't. I mean, this chapter of this drama, to me, you know, all but solidifies like the end here for him, you know, and it really did remove, I think, a big question we would have had in this offseason. It's almost like if the Bills had come out and said, we want to draft Travis Etienne, and like we didn't have 2 or 3 months of debating whether that was a good idea or not. I feel like talking about whether Eichel's finished or not, or he's unhappy. I mean, I think you were already right to wonder about that before knowing any of this. And I just don't, you know, without knowing, I mean, who knows who's right about the course of treatment, you know? But boy, I think if you were of the mind to try to keep things on track with Eichel, I think you would probably be inclined to let him get treatment as he sees fit or as his doctor sees fit, and not refuse him the treatment that he thinks is going to make him better. If they knew they were done with him, then I don't know. Like, maybe there's some motivation to avoid surgery because they didn't want to be trading their captain coming off neck surgery. Yeah. I really don't know. I can't figure out a better reason than that. I mean, of course, you know, there could be just the medical reasons. Like, we have, you know, this many examples of guys who've, or women, patients who've gone through rehab and it's successful, and there's some risk with surgery and whatever. But just to have them, on top of everything else that's gone on here the last year, the last 5 years, you know, the entire course of the Pegula's ownership, to have this level of distrust with the cornerstone player of your franchise is just more news that the Sabres just don't have it together. And they definitely didn't need more of that.
Well, it's confusing, and there'll be a lot of theories. If he was frustrated, there were all kinds of reasons to believe it. It was common sense. It made sense to think he was frustrated. This is before he hurt his neck. He played with an injury, and his coach said he wasn't playing hurt, and he wasn't scoring. Like, he was scoring, he wasn't scoring, and people wondered what's wrong with him, and his coach said nothing. So, how would he feel about that? He's been through the 5 years, and then there's that, and then this happens, and so why would the Sabres, like, I think the medical people involved with the Sabres deserve some benefit of the doubt here, right? Like, these people are not a joke. They would have some benefit of the doubt. There'd be the, as I tried to get across to Paul, there'd be the sort of the medical analysis of this. And then there's, okay, so we're the Sabres and we have this, damn our luck. We have this is happening with this guy right now. if he expressed to them, even if it was maybe secondhand, like if he expressed that he was done after that because he was already close, and then this happened, and I'm not playing this year. Our team is like 6-30. This year's shot. I'm not scoring. Lost year. Then the Sabres sort of would what would they do? They would do maybe what they did, which was say, well, we think he can come back. Meanwhile, what did our station sound like about him in that period of time? I mean, people are calling up and writing in to question like his commitment. And I don't know, like if the Sabres were in Eichel's best interest, then they could have shot that down. He has this injury. Instead of being all just like, we can't tell you.
Yeah.
They say, he has this injury. We're trying to figure out whatever, like something specific that he would have respected. And so maybe it was already shot by then. We just didn't know it. And he's expressed, I'm not playing for you. And so he's not going to do their rehab, whatever that is. Maybe he does for himself, but he's not on their, you know, in their playbook, if you will. Mm-hmm. And so then the season ends like, yeah, we're still, you know, we're at odds and we'll see what happens. Wherever I play next year, I want to be healthy.
Right. Yeah.
I think that can add up. I don't think that has to be. It's confusing, yes. I don't think it has to be exactly right. But why would they have – maybe they just didn't think he was hurt like he said he was. He's done, and they're like, well, we don't think you should be done. So we think there is a chance, Paul, everybody, that he'll be back. And he's out there going, yeah, right. So
yeah, yeah.
The doctors deserve some benefit of the doubt over there.
Sure.
Because they're not going to try to undermine him, I would think. So like there would be this disagreement that might be reasonable, but really what it might come down to is all the stuff that we have been talking about before led to Eichel reacting to this injury a certain way.
Well, I wonder, I mean, something that has not come up since we started today, and there hasn't been, I don't think, a lot of discussion about it, but, you know, we talked with Paul about the rib injury that he started the season with, that he got hurt. He said on the ice he got hurt before training camp even began, and that's why he missed the very start of training camp. But there was also mention of an abdominal injury that was lingering since last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, so what's that? You know, like, is that him suggesting that whatever course of treatment he got from them for that injury wasn't successful? And does that cause him to be questioning even more their diagnosis now on this much more serious injury? Not to say the abdominal injury is not a serious thing, but the players, lots of guys get those. And I feel like that surgery is a pretty common occurrence in the league to repair, you know, that region of the body. But to have that still bothering him for like what sounds like more than a year, I mean that's not where you want to be either. Like that lingered. I wonder if that sowed some seeds of mistrust on his end about their course of action regarding injuries.
Maybe
is all I'm saying.
It just could be a lot of little things that aren't that little. Coaching changes, management changes. I mean, just like all of it. Maybe just built up, and then you have that. It's like, no, you guys are. I'm not playing for you anymore, either directly or indirectly. You're going to know that, and therefore, you're not going to tell me how to treat my injury. And I'll sit here until the season's over and hide, and then after the season's over, I'll tell you what I'm thinking, which is we disagree on this, and I'm going to think we're going to figure it out. But I don't know. It's still some amount a guess at this point.
Yeah.
At least for me, it is.
And the position that the team has now left themselves in through all of this, I mean, like I said with Paul, I mean, it's a bad enough situation when you feel like you have to trade a player of this caliber. Your fans are going to be upset about it. The organization, it's just a lot of tumult to go through. And then now add in, he hasn't been healthy really since the end of last season. He's got the abdominal thing lingering. Now there's this next situation, and I'm supposed to try to trade him between now and, what, the end of July when the NHL draft happens? it just gets harder and more difficult to navigate by the day with this team. I mean, it's not an impossible situation. Star players get traded in sports, but man, there's just a lot of complicating factors now. You know, like a team is going to be wondering about his health, and I just don't know how you trade that player and get the max value for him now. I mean, I know that's not like the page one story today necessarily, but eventually we're going to settle into the reality that probably has to happen. And what does it do to the return in the trade that he's in the physical state he's in while now going through this seemingly pretty public, messy divorce?
Mm-hmm. Here's Matt with us. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. Hockey has been my life, basically, ever since I started playing the game when I was 5 years old. So that was over 30 years ago. And I've been lucky enough to have season tickets from 06 to 16, mostly bad years, mostly tank years. And so hockey's, I'm a gigantic fan. And the games the past couple of years have been largely unwatchable, but it all came back to Eichel. As far back as 2014, in the tank, and as long as you had that franchise player, there was hope. You could build around him, you're developing him, it's okay. And then with this press conference today, you know, the writing is pretty clear on the wall that, you know, he might not, most likely won't be back. So, you know, for a franchise to mess up a franchise player within about 5 years, to me, is completely unfathomable. And to take somebody like myself, who loves the game and the team so dearly, and make me completely indifferent to what they're doing, I mean, I watch more NBA basketball this year than I have collectively my entire life, only because the team did not interest me. And I'm not going to say something crazy like I'll never watch the team again. I know Buffalo fans say things like that, but, you know, to do this, I don't think I can ever forgive them. And
Buffalo's,
you know, I'll watch the team again.
Thanks, Matt. I'm sorry to cut you off, but we just got to go. Buffalo fans say things like that because their teams sometimes go more than a decade without a playoff appearance. I don't think it's us. Maybe they say that in a lot of places, but yeah. I mean, look, we have lots of time to have months now. Like, there's the Eichel trade, and there's just exactly what can the organization do. He gets traded. Sam Reinhardt even gets traded. I don't root for them anymore. Like, I'm not going with them.
Yep, that's the end of that.
So you get mad at the team, and you often have good reasons to, but you're still theirs. They're still yours. And now but eventually it's, all right, so what can you do about it that will have the Sabres be a team that people want to support, right? Like the caller did say, Eichel was the only thing, kind of. Oh, sort of he said that. He was the reason to watch. And so now what? Well, good point. you have to find your way to somebody else. And I don't, you know, I think it'll be that's going to be a tough job. You know, it'll be a tough job at this point. They are paying for a lot of mistakes, some of which I think, you know, like Ristolainen is one for me. They've never figured out that they still make, you know, what happened with the goaltending this year, like a lot of things, coaches, a lot of things. And all that losing, well, you ran out of time maybe. 803-0550, Travis Yost. Thank you, Matt. Sorry that we just had to cut you off like that, but it's I'm sorry for doing that. Travis coming up at 4. This is WGR.
I mean, when I was in the lineup, I definitely didn't contribute and play as well as I needed to play and as well as this team needed me to play. That's just a hard truth. I mean, that's what it comes down to. I was not good enough. And, you know, I can look myself in the mirror and say, yeah, you weren't good enough this year. Like the times where you were in the lineup, you weren't good enough. So I just got to be better. You know, I got to be a better hockey player. That's what it comes down to. Got to get healthy and get myself prepared for next year, but got to be better.
There it is when he said, I've got to get healthy. What had the last 2 months been like for him? He was hurt on March 7th. Today is May 10th. Was he involved in some rehab process with them for his injury? What would that be? I don't even know. But was he, like, as the alternative to surgery? Or was he just like, yeah, I don't think so. I'm going to get surgery. I'm just going to wait you out, and we'll figure it out later. But No, I'm not playing for you anymore, and so I'm just not going to take your advice. I don't know. Like, I mean, are you supposed to assume that there has been rehab?
I mean, I think normally, yeah. But in this scenario, I have no idea. I just have no idea. And like what sort of timeline he's on health-wise to be back and ready for this? Does that hinge on surgery? You would think if you're, you know, stuck because of your contract, not getting the surgery, that the work would begin in earnest to try to rehab, whether it's to come back for this year or just be ready to have a normal off season and be ready to hit, you know, hit the ice in September for training camp again, wherever you're playing. I mean, I would think he'd be highly motivated to, like you said, get healthy. So if you're stuck in a situation where you can't get the treatment, i.e. surgery, that you want, but you have to sort of bow to the team's wishes, well, I think it's in your best interest to at least do that, right? To rehab, to do the work, because something's got to happen for you health-wise. If you're not ready to play right now, you got to get healthy enough to play again, wherever that's going to be, and continue your career. So, I mean, I'd be surprised if he wasn't doing something to try to get himself back to where he can play hockey.
Right. And this, I'm just in the dark. I mean, what kind of variance would there be in these sort of rehab procedures between, you know, what one team and another or one party and another would propose? I don't know. We'll have Travis Yost on in a bit. We'll talk about this and the future. What kind of trade might Travis be able to imagine happening here, if that's what's inevitable? What a start to schedule week. Tony Dungy predicts Bills Bucks, and Peter King said it's Bills or Cowboys probably for that first game.
That.
So Wednesday night is the schedule announcement. I'll be trying to find stuff out tomorrow, but I don't know. I don't know how successful I should expect to be. Fun week, and the Bills might get opening night.
Yeah, well, I still think the Cowboys are the pick there, but I'm certainly not against the Bills playing in that game, and that would be really, really cool to be the first game of the year. I mean, that would be, you know, talk about status. Like, that'd be really nice.
Right, right. All right, let's take a break, and we'll have Travis on next. A lot of Sabre stuff to sort out. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR.